Welcome to the DK UK podcast. My name is Daniel Kelly. DK UK is a hairdressing salon based in Peckham since 2014. Here in the salon, customers look at art instead of a mirror while they get their hair cut. This began as an art project and has grown into a successful business. The salon came about as a reaction to living in London, which is now a very expensive and overcrowded city, not leaving much space for artists to show their work outside of the commercial art world. I trained as a hairdresser before I went to art college, and after several years of trudging through the art world trying to make a living, I decided to combine the two areas of my life, art and hairdressing, and hey presto, haircuts in front of art. On the DK UK podcast, I will be chatting to a range of guests whilst giving them a haircut on the themes present in DK UK, such as how artists earn a living, public funding in the arts, and what sort of length do you want the fringe? I recommend listening to the podcast through headphones and hope you enjoy the chat. Any likes, shares, ratings, etc. would be greatly appreciated. And what was that? Here comes our client. Okay, better go. So what are we going to do with your haircut then?
So what Oz did last time really worked because she just kept it quite long and heavy on top, so it didn't...
Yeah.
So pretty much what Oz did, just a trim. But
okay.
I don't know if that'll make what it is, but a trim.
Do you want to grow it longer?
I don't want to grow it longer, but I don't want it to go really short, so just a bit of
okay. Management.
Okay,
because it was like a bob when I cut it last time.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I think I like it. It was great when you cut it last, so I think I like it sort of about here, but about that much off or something. Maybe a bit
easy.
Just an easy trim. Yeah, no.
Has it got layers in at the moment?
I don't think so. I don't know what she did, because it's not... But she did something where it sort of behaved itself.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle.
Did it have layers in when I cut it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the ends are quite dry.
Yeah, it get rid of all the anything. It just needs like a pruning.
Yeah, and what about the front?
So I think she just kept it really... I don't think she took much off because it's quite kind of fine at the front.
Yeah.
So I think just keeping as much at the front as you can, but obviously if it's a bit...
So do you push it across to the side like
that? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to cut that sort of slightly asymmetrical, like a long fringe, so it'll sit across...
It just bounces up, so I think what Oz did was just kept it really long. In a ideal world, it would be lovely, but my hair just doesn't do that.
Okay. So pretty straightforward, and it's not too short at the front either.
No.
And did it work well, sort of being a bit longer at the front like this, the way it drops forward a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, but I do tie it up, so it's kind of good to have a bit of length at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put in the first section and then we can sort of think about how much it needs to come on.
Okay.
But yeah, really just...
Really on...
This much. It's not very good for the podcast, is it? An inch? Something?
Yeah, an inch.
An inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, most, maximum.
It just needs a bit of a... Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been much better, my hair, since I've started coming here, so thank you.
That's good. And how long has it been since it was cut?
It was when I gave you those paintings, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was not actually that long ago.
No.
It seems to have grown a lot. When was that? July? August?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Cool. So it's been a while since your exhibition.
It has.
It has, that's my fault. So hopefully we can remember. But we had two paintings in the space.
We did.
Big paintings. First painting show that we'd done.
Mm.
And sort of the clients sat in front of your paintings while getting their hair done, and then you spent two days in here and did four models.
And
so you painted on people's pre-lightened hair, inspired by maybe you can describe the painting process.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm quite glad I'm talking about it now because it was such an intense experience. In all the best ways, it was amazing. But like, it was just a lot to it was so much to process.
Yeah.
But like I think I said to you before, like a lot came out of it that I feel like has a lot of potency and kind of feeds the practice going forward. But yeah, so, oh gosh, so to start with, it was really interesting having the paintings in here with people sat in front of them, because I like them to be kind of like portals or something, or like, but it felt like with people sat in front of their bodies, sat in front of them, then they were just felt so immersive.
Well, they were huge, aren't they? We should try and describe them.
Yeah, they're like, what are they, 178 by 153 centimetres. So they're kind of, they're big paintings.
And the wall is probably 250 or something.
So yeah, they're really kind of, if you're sat in front of them, you're like enveloped by them in a way.
Yeah.
And like I said to you, it was a bit like, they looked a bit like if somebody was like, if they were sat in the hairdressing chair, they looked like they were flying a spaceship, and that the paintings was like the window in front of them, or the galaxy or something.
Yeah.
It was kind of quite a bit cosmic and a bit trippy.
Well, it was, I think people found it very interesting, because I mean, you'd never sit so close, probably, unless you were painting the painter, and you'd never sit so close, especially for an hour or three if you're getting a colour, you know.
Well, even for me, it's really weird, because those two paintings are really important paintings to me, both of them, actually.
Yeah.
And I know them really, really well, but I didn't know them in the way that they were in here.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, it's always a thing when they come out of the studio and you see them, they're always really different, but this was like, yeah, I don't know, it was really intense, actually, even though they're actually quite sort of, in some ways, they're quite sort of subtle, quite bodily paintings, but actually they felt very, I don't know if you're allowed to say this about your own work, but they felt very sort of powerful in here in a way. And I think also it worked really, this space has its own, obviously it has its own curatorial like thing, and it also has its own aesthetic, and it was kind of really interesting to see the work working within that.
Yeah, and I also think it's to do, I mean, I guess part of looking at a painting is the different stages you can view it at.
Mm.
You know, as soon as you walk in the room, you might see it sort of across the room from this, from the door, and then you sort of, you're judging it and seeing the scale changes as you move around it. And that just wasn't possible in this space.
No.
You know, within the, because the salon is 2 metres wide, but then and then there's a window in front of it which you could look through to see, but then, even if you get in the other shop, you could only get 5 metres away from it.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was always huge.
That's really in your face.
Yeah, there was just none of that sort of, yeah. So you're right, they were very commanding.
Mm.
And people can look on the website to see pictures of them, but they sort of had abstract paintings with these sort of bodily gestures on, and sort of soft sort of colours.
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting to bring them into a hairdressing salon where people are sort of getting their hair done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, actually, it was interesting because you just had the, I don't know, I guess it's also for me, like in the art context, like you just had that Phoebe Davies show, which I really loved.
Yeah.
And I guess this is like, you know, I guess I'm sort of, things are shifting within my practice, and so it felt really pertinent to be showing in here with the sort of work that you've shown, even though that wasn't painting. It kind of felt, I don't know, it just really opened a lot of stuff up. And also of the painting on the hair was really, you know, like quite mind-blowing, actually.
Yeah.
But that, and documenting, because what we did, didn't we, was I painted on four people's hair, and with these colours, so then the colours, they were like a dye, aren't they, so they stay for a certain time afterwards, but
semi-permanent
hair,
yeah.
And these colours, like, really odd, the palette just totally related to my palette, but also we got somebody, Benjamin photographed this hidden performance, and I suppose in my practice I've started to photograph myself, and I'm really interested in that alongside the paintings. So that was like, I don't know, really rich for me to do that and to sort of consider how that sort of thing might work.
Yeah. And how did you arrive on, because you've pretty much consistently been using those colours from the work I've seen for quite a while now.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that sort of palette?
That's a good question. I used to make these paintings that were like, they were kind of pixelated, like they were these, I drew up these sort of almost pixelated drawings that I'd made in an old computer program, and then I used them as a sort of framework to make paintings, and they had very sort of, God, for want of a better word, kind of punk colours, I guess.
Which is day glows
right. and also used household paints and silvers and
sort of straight out of the tube, sort of or straight out of the tin.
I mean, actually, I say that, and then I became interested in kind of doing those paintings, and I was looking at a lot of I was looking at kind of modernist and abstract expressionist painting, but I was also looking at a lot of things in the National Gallery, looking at Ingres and looking at, I don't know, much more, I don't know, I guess that kind of the, oh gosh, I'm losing my word, those sort of more traditional oil, like Turner, you know, there's use of like those more traditional romantic ideas of colours, but I was also, so I suppose this is before I went to Goldsmiths, so I was starting to go that way, and I was starting to kind of use a kind of white veiling in these more pixelated paintings, and then I went to Goldsmiths and everything changed on every conceivable level, and I suppose what happened, I suppose actually strangely in the paintings now, like, they are really subtle, but there's still a bit of day-glow. There's kind of a reference to say, I mean, I'm really interested in this thing that art comes through the body and through the life experience, so I guess lots of things from my experience, so there's a hint of rave culture. There's also things that are very, very sort of bodily, which I'm really interested in. Also, maybe there's things from makeup, or I don't know, but also just a real, like, getting involved in the kind of sensuousness of the paint and the lushness of the oil paint and those colours and kind of, yeah, I guess there's a tradition, there's the traditional aspect to them, but there's a modernity to them as well, and I guess that comes out of using both oils and acrylics.
I see, yeah.
So I suppose in essence, it's like, I look at paintings I made when I was like 20, and in some ways I'm still like sort of exploring the same kind of colours and things, but then I guess all that life experience comes in and other influences, so it's, yeah, a myriad of things, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and so I guess that was pure coincidence that these hair dyes, the colourful hair dyes that we've got here, came in and really closely matched your
It's quite weird.
Pre-existing palette, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you were actually in here getting your hair done. And I'd sort of been thinking for a while that it'd be great to get you in to use the hair dye in the same way that we'd use paint. And that was quite intense, wasn't it, for you? We went to that hair event.
So intense. I mean,
and it's a whole new world to sort of step into, which I think we could talk about later. I think there's definitely more potential in that somehow. Mm. But tell us about your experience of using the hair dye and how different that was.
Oh my God, it was so different because, just one simple thing I remember, which is that, you know, if you use the hairdryer, and I used my painting brushes, didn't I?
Yeah.
But you use your painting brush, and with a normal paint, you'd wash it off, but the hair dye dyes the hog hair or whatever. So, you know.
Strange.
This is really strange. Also, like Oz said, you know, that when you're painting on a painting, the painting doesn't talk back to you. So, you know, you talk. I don't know, it was just so many things, and I suppose also painting is a very sort of solitary thing. I mean,
were sort of very gentle with the models, weren't you? I mean, when you've trained as a hairdresser, you learn to not be gentle.
Was I? I have no idea. Yeah, I was like, I mean, I was also like,
they're there to serve you.
Chucking the paint on in ways that I know. I suppose I was able, I kind of got into it because I was starting to be quite experimental with it and realising it's just about learning what the materials do. Like my paints that I use in the studio, I know those materials so well.
Yeah.
And these, I was like, I mean, it was really exciting because if you used the intense red and you just smeared it and then it would stain quite quickly, and learning those, I think I'd learn really But I found it, I mean, it was really great in here because I really trusted Benjamin, really trusted Oz,
The photographer and
Colour
technician.
That's And the four people I'd chosen to paint on the hair, I'd not only chosen them because of how they looked, but I also chose them for like kind of what they represent, and also I really like all four of them enormously as people. So in that way, like I was kind of blessed, you know, there was no bad vibes. But it was honestly one of the most intense things I've ever done in my life.
It's a whole new thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's, it's harder to learn new shit as you're getting older, isn't it? You know, it's...
Oh, no. What a faux pas. It's terrible. That's my friend Connie. I'm going to turn that off. Sorry about that. It is hard to learn, and I've been doing a lot of learning new shit as you get older, because I just went back and did my MA and.
Well, I suppose as an artist, you are, you know, you're constantly sort of like training yourself and.
Yeah, that's what's exciting about being an artist.
And frustrating, I think.
Yeah.
But in a good way, you know. It's never.
Well, yeah, I was talking to.
You never settle, do you?
A friend yesterday, who's an artist, and she's saying, "What next?" I suppose. I guess sort of my age or whatever, a lot of people are like quite settled or in what they're doing, whereas I suppose the good and terrifying thing for me is that I feel like I'm at the start of something. There was something that I feel like there's so much in what happened with the hair that I need to still really think about a lot, actually, because it was really
so
really
we photographed amazing. The you spoke about it like a hidden performance. Presumably you think about making the paintings like a hidden performance,
yeah,
it has parallels with that. So we felt we, you know, generously, I guess, on your part, we got Ben in, documented the work, and he made some beautiful photographs.
Oh my god!
I mean, the hard part was sort of making a selection of those, but with the selection we managed to whittle down, we used that as part of the social media element of the show, and that was the first show for us. I mean, I should say thank you for an amazing show.
Thank you.
The show for the gallery,
for me, it was amazing.
For me, it was really exciting because it was the first time people walked past the salon and said, there's hairdressers with art in it. Since I've been here 3 years, probably 2.5 years ago, that's what I've wanted, you know, is for the, like,
yeah,
people who don't perhaps go to galleries very much to walk past and get what the model is, and this show really honed that down, so that was fantastic. And from a gallery perspective, I've also been thinking about how we use social media, and rather than just documenting the show and putting that on social media, I think it's much more interesting to make something specifically for that medium, you know, a sort of work perhaps a bit tangential to the show, completely unique for it, because so many people do experience the work in that way. So yeah, why not make something specific?
Well, for me, those were
different photos from different angles, showing what the space is. So those photos were, really integral for us as a gallery. And then it'd be interesting to hear. This is coming round to a question: what role they played for you and how that's fed in? Because I have sort of noticed a bit of a change in your social media as well, I think, from there. So yeah.
So I mean, for me, it's actually quite a beautiful story, actually, because me and Benjamin, we both went to this private view, and I think I like got Benjamin's only like, I think he's only 25 or 26 or 20, I don't know, he's really young, and I think I got a light from him, and somehow we landed up having this amazing, incredible conversation about photography and the female gaze.
Yeah.
And he'd also taken some photographs for a friend of mine, who goes under the name of Sarg Napoli as an artist, and I really like these photographs. So when this show came along, I love what Benjamin does, and I also really love him as a person. He's really interesting. So, yeah, when the show came along, I thought it was a really good opportunity to work with him.
Mm.
And there's something, it's really strange, because, and I'm having this a lot at the moment, I think it's to do with the way that I use social media, and the things I'm interested in actually seem to resonate or be understood more by people that are like in their mid-20s than my own age. So I'm talking a bit in circles, but I'm going to actually work with a curator called Cairo Clark, who kind of really gets what I'm doing. He's of a similar age as well. But yeah, so for me, those documenting the performance like that was really amazing, because I had a total trust in Benjamin, but I also felt like those photographs were art, were works in themselves.
Right.
And like I say, it is a lot to get my head around, because it really brought out this sort of like, they're really sexy, they're like really beautiful, sensual images, and they also, some of them just of the hair with the foil on the hair, it just looked like an abstract painting, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But I suppose what in practice, what's come out of it, so I've started to sort of marry my own image with the paintings, and maybe with each painting revealing either a bit of the hidden performance or a bit afterwards, or something to do with myself. And my plan, which sort of come out of this, I know I'm talking a bit in circles here, but is that I want to do a show of paintings and photographs, and I want to work with Benjamin, even though I will activate the photographs to keep the kind of female gaze intact,
yes.
and Cairo would curate it. So actually, it's sort of, not only was it an amazing experience to do that, it's also kind of was the seed.
Mm. So you're going to invite Ben into the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do something similar based in the studio.
Yeah, but I want him, I want, because I really trust his aesthetic, and
yeah,
it's really important that I've been doing these things with my iPhone and just a remote shutter, so it's activated by me. And
yeah.
that's, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for doing that. I could probably talk for hours about it, but I suppose there's something about, I guess it's quite a feminist thing, it's something about performing the self. Taking the power back, maybe as a female painter, lots and lots and lots of things, but also
yeah.
there's a kind of uncontaining of what the works contain, which are quite, I guess there's a kind of sexuality to the work.
Say that again, an uncontaining of what the works contain.
Yeah, so
unpacking the intention.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess Goldsmith was like really interested in, because it was kind of a weird thing to just continue to just make paintings in that context. You know, just to keep everything within that frame. And I realised that the work, it's like, what does the work contain? What does the safety of the studio allow? And I sort of think that there's an awful lot of like affect or things that happen in the moment of making the painting, that in the paintings that I love, I maybe stand in front of them and I sort of bodily feel like I feel what has gone into them.
Right, yeah.
But I think, it's sort of personal, there's a lot of personal stuff involved in this, but I guess for lots of personal reasons, somehow I feel able to start to uncontain from that frame some of the things that the paintings contain. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Well, it's sort of getting out your sort of intent in making the work that perhaps wouldn't be there just from viewing the paint, the finished piece.
Yeah, and also maybe it's like I'm always like, I wish I could be, maybe the painting has been a space in life where I've always been like, I wish I could be, no, I kind of am like the paintings are, but I wish I could be like that in life. But maybe now I'm a bit more able to be.
Yeah.
I guess. It's, yeah. So, but also, it's also a sort of playfulness and a cheekiness about it, to be honest, as well. And
I'm finding a way for the paintings to sort of open up in a quick fix culture, isn't it? I suppose for people to sort of stop and have a look at them within an Instagram.
Well, I think it's also
context.
Like kind of. I mean, I don't believe this, but Suhail Malik said at Goldsmiths that the art is now just the stuff, and it's about the cult of the artist and about the network. Now, I don't believe that, because I'm a complete romantic and I really believe in painting, and I'm a real But I guess I also had Mark Leckie as my tutor, and he's like incredible at performing himself.
Yeah.
And I suppose for me, you know, there are things in the market, especially around painting, which are very, you know, if you are being marketed as much as the work.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not, I guess I'm kind of playing with that and kind of camping it up in a way. And yeah, but also operating in some ways online in a way that much younger artist women I know do, which is, yeah, I guess operating kind of, sometimes in quite a sexual way as well, but just trying to kind of, I don't know, play with a lot of things. And it's actually been very interesting because it has definitely it's brought about quite a strong response, which has been, yeah.
What are you not saying there? Yeah.
Well, no, in every respect it's brought about a strong response. Yeah. I've had to really defend it, but I've also feel like, actually, in fact, Benjamin said it was a bit like putting something very extreme out there to protect something that's very close to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words. I guess this is why I'm a painter and an artist. I'm not as good at putting it into words. But, but I also worked in TV for a long time, and I suppose I actually worked with the lens and with the screen and with images, and I feel like actually maybe this is about also that practice coming into my art practice as well. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's about owning it as well. And yeah, lots and lots of things.
So when's the show going to be with Ben? Then? You got a plan for that?
Oh, well, I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to jinx it, but but I've had some really exciting conversations with some people who are interested in helping me to maybe back it, and Kyra and I are looking for a space, but touch wood, I've had an awful lot of support for the idea, including from Andrew Renton, who's head of curating at Goldsmiths, who's really interested in the photographs and the painting. So yeah, it's been kind of really exciting, actually. It's definitely, something's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm also really excited to work with Kyra because I met her through Hannah Perry, actually. And she wrote about a show that I did the week before this show, actually, with a painter called Jackie Utley. And Kyra's just, she's an incredible person. I think we understand each other really well personally, but she has amazing kind of emotional intelligence, and she was the one actually that really got what I was doing about the photographs more than anyone. So
right.
I feel like there's a real trust and understanding there, and it will also, I also feel like the work needs to be developed, that it's not, you know, so that's kind of, yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, and it sounds like, do you feel there is a difference with the younger generation then, just being a bit more accepting?
Well, I think what's really interesting when I work with Jackie and
the role of social media in that.
Yeah, although funny enough, my son, I mean, apparently my son is 17, and I read in Days, it's like the really much younger ones are really rejecting it, or only, my son will post something on Instagram about once every 6 weeks. He's very high. Right. But I think younger women sort of using it in different ways, and yeah, I also think this is not exactly answering your question, but when I work with Kyra and Jackie Utley, and Jackie I think is a little bit older than me, I'm not exactly sure, but there was a conversation about feminism from their different ages that maybe hadn't been, even though I'm only slightly younger than Jackie, just hadn't been so present when I was, you know, it has been present in my Goldsmith's life, but not so much when I was younger. So it feels like there's this sort of amazing awareness with younger women about this stuff.
It's been brought about through social media or just through more conversations about it?
I don't know about if it's brought about through social media. Which, although I do think social media can, because Kyra and I, we met through Hannah, but actually we connected through social media, and actually she did a series of shows called Touch Sensitive around the female body, And so I guess it was social media that kind of developed that friendship, that or that kind of conversation. So yeah, I mean, it's as with painting, it's kind of, it's obviously Instagram is like a really big thing, but it can be really incredibly dull, I think. So I'm kind of
How do you connect? Do you connect with other painters in that way?
Yeah.
What's their response been like? As in people who are outside your immediate sort of people you'd only come across through Instagram. Has it helped sort of connect with a wider painting audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm doing is sort of I think because I haven't just been looking at painting in the last couple of years, I've been looking at a lot of other different things. I think it's a little like performance and going to see different kinds of shows. I think it means that I'm operating in weirdly a slightly different way to a lot of painters.
Yeah.
And some are very silent about it. And some are not. It's kind of interesting because I'll meet people like when I'm teaching. I've been teaching at Tuts Banana with some absolutely staggering painters. Like,
that's all painters, is it? Tuts Banana?
Yeah. Well, it is all painters, but they're now trying to. They are, but there's also some people doing some very interesting things that are kind of on the edges of painting now.
Yeah.
The students are incredible. The tutors are like, you know, insanely amazing painters. Yeah, it's kind of funny when you're in meetings thinking, you've seen me naked on Instagram. But I think, I don't know, it's something that I feel very, it's like a really, it's really important thing about the practice. So people maybe might, I have had people, nobody's actually challenged me about those images, but people asked me about it, but I think it's operating. I'm kind of interested in people like Amalia Ullman and people like that who use Instagram and social media as part of their practice.
I don't know her.
Yeah, she's really interesting, and I don't think that is really particularly been taken on board by painters. I think painters use it as quite a I don't think I'm being wrong in saying that painters use it as quite a straight thing to communicate their imagery.
Yeah.
Was that, I don't know. For me, some of those things that I've done on Instagram are works in themselves.
Yeah, made for that context.
Yeah, and I don't know, that's the big question. I mean, I do have ideas about how they would be in a gallery space, but those are things that need to be developed, because in a weird way, they do exist on that little phone with the backlit thing and in that moment with that hashtag, and that's a work, isn't it? So, yeah.
And what does Amalia Ullman do?
Well, She works with Arcadia Mesa, actually, but she, uses her own image on Instagram and
Video.
Yeah, some an video,
yeah,
and I think she's really, really important and influential. And I guess people like Jessie Darling as well, you know.
Yeah.
Instagram, it's not her practice, but it's a big. It feels like it's a really integral part to her practice somehow.
Yeah, it's this sort of myth making, like you say.
Exactly.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with me, I'm kind of, I don't know, it's weird because it's sort of deadly, deadly serious, and I feel like there is a massive, I'm showing a lot of my vulnerability in the work, and I'm showing strength, and I'm being very honest, but also there is a funny thing about it in that I guess I'm like, you know, I'm a single parent, I'm a middle-aged woman, I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of. But I'm also, yeah, there's something about it that I'm really enjoying, and enjoying it's sort of, a friend of mine who's a stylist the other day, was a fashion designer, was saying it's about being in control of your own image and curating that, and being playful with it.
Yeah, yeah. So what we're going to do with Ben's pictures then?
I think they
should have a Tumblr, shouldn't they?
Yeah, that's quite nice. Well, it's just online.
Yeah. I'd love them to have a home.
Yeah.
But I think online is good because, again, it's got that backlit thing. I think in print, maybe they might even lose it, you know?
Yeah.
But if they had a Tumblr, then, yeah, it feels important that they all live together somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be quite easily achieved.
Oh, yeah, very easy to do, yeah. And you can set it so that they're constantly scrolling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So no. It's almost like a slideshow. You just go and land on the page.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, it's been, honestly, the time has just flown, hasn't it, since then? I just don't know what happened. You've had two shows since then, haven't you?
Yes, exactly. This is the second show. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to revisit it at some point as well, even in more of a hairdresser context. I did mention that before, didn't I?
Yeah, we talked about that before, didn't we? I think it would be good.
Such an interesting crossover, the way you talk about the materiality of the hair dye. Yeah, I know working with all of us, our fellow musicians, she found that really inspiring as well.
Oh, so inspiring.
For many reasons, yeah.
Actually working on the body with paint, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
But also I quite like those paints because they're also, those hair dyes, they're so synthetic, aren't they? There's something so crazy modern about them. Yeah. But they're also beautiful, you know, they're so beautiful, those the colours. But yeah, it would be great to do more, because I actually did, I think I learned an awful lot in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, Alison's been like, so amazing. She really helped me.
Yeah, you could see a change as you were working through the...
Yeah, I started to get it.
Started to get a bit quicker.
Yeah, oh my god, it was so... But also, I love my friend Carl, who was the first person I painted the hair on, who's an amazing person. So interesting. But he was really chatting on the first one, and my brain was just like, I almost could not compute, like trying to learn how to do this thing and have a conversation, and like. But somehow his hair turned out all right.
Oh, it looks fantastic. Yeah.
But you also had cut. The cuts were in. We've sort of worked on mood boards and things, haven't we, to make the cuts in relation have a relation to the painting. So there was a kind of very hard edge. Abstract thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it kind of also tied into loads of things I really love. I mean, I'm very interested in fashion and I was able to kind of bring a lot of my obsessions into those mood boards, so that was really good. And I mean, Barbara, Hannah, Sophie and Carl all have the most extraordinary look, each one of them, so yeah, they were great to work with.
It was such a good photo shoot for Gloucester magazine as well.
I know, it would. It would have been so good. We got some great photos, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad we just did it that way rather than going to a studio afterwards.
I think it would have been too much.
That would have been a whole nother thing.
Yeah, well then you'd have to get somebody to style it. And
yeah. Yeah.
And actually, in a way, it was right that it was in here, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, 100%. No, this place became your studio for that.
Yeah, and I felt kind of, I mean, I did feel really kind of safe and supported and all that in here. I didn't feel, I was like challenged by having to learn how to dye hair. But in every other respect, it was just a really, really supportive, good vibe.
And were the results what you expected when you'd completed the first?
No, but I know, because I approached exactly like I approach paintings, which is I don't expect. I just kind of get stuck in and see what happens.
Yeah.
Which I think...
That's my approach to life.
Yes, mine too. Exactly. So yeah, I think, which can go one way or the other, and thankfully I think it went well. But yeah. But yeah.
Thank you, Cokes.
Oh, new hair as
new
well.
Hair.
Thank
so,
you.
So I've taken, there's been about an inch come off, a little bit more off the centre back there.
Yeah.
But really strengthened it up through the front, and then just trimmed the front really.
Amazing.
Not taking so much off there.
Thank you.
Okay.
So good.
Thank you.
Well, I never. Very interesting. Thanks for listening to the DK UK podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. I would also like to thank Arts Council England for their continued support of DK UK, Open School East for helping me get the recordings off the ground, and Joey Four for this great music you can hear underneath. For more information about DK UK, you can check out the website, which is www.dkuk.biz. And as I said, any likes, shares, ratings on the iTunes store, friends to tell about through social media would be greatly appreciated. And if you're in Peckham, come and get a haircut and have your own chat. Thanks a lot. Bye.